provided by Thomas Olgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant posts on LinkedIn about account-based marketing in CW 22 and 23. Frenis is a B2B market research company working with enterprises to optimize their campaigns with research-grade account profiling and insights. You can find more info in the description.
Welcome to the deep dive. We are we're really thrilled you're here with us because today we are going to unpack the absolute top ABM trends we've seen across LinkedIn over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, and our mission for you today is to basically cut through all the fluff, right? We want to distill the latest insights into three core themes. So we're looking at strategy and focus, data and targeting, and finally AI and automation.
Exactly. Because, you know, when most people think about outbound marketing, they tend to picture this massive net being thrown into the open ocean. You drag it blindly through the water, haul it back up, and you just sort of hope you caught more actual fish than, like, old boots and seaweed.
Right. It's the classic volume game. You cast a wide net, count the catch, and justify your budget.
Yeah, and it feels highly productive strictly because the net is heavy.
Totally. But, I mean, when you step into the world of complex B2B sales in 2026, that massive net becomes a complete liability. The accounts you're looking for, they aren't swimming in giant schools near the surface waiting to be scooped up.
No, not at all.
It's an environment that demands you put away the net entirely and start spearfishing in the dark. Which brings us to our first theme, right? Strategy and focus. We're seeing the end of the volume playbook.
Yeah, the absolute death of it, and specifically the death of the traditional MQL, the marketing qualified lead.
Yes. Alejandro A. Alcacer-T recently pointed this out, and he had some pretty brutal framing for it. He argued that operating sales and marketing as separate silos that just chase MQLs is, well, the most expensive financial mistake of the decade.
A most expensive mistake. And, you know, we really need to look exactly why the MQL model fails so spectacularly at the enterprise level.
Right, because the whole premise of an MQL is just fundamentally flawed, isn't it?
It is. It assumes that a single individual, like downloading a white paper or attending a webinar, is this definitive buying signal. But an enterprise software purchase is a consensus decision. One mid-level manager reading an ebook does not equate to a $100,000 budget allocation.
Yeah, and Melissa Workenthin shared a brilliant diagnostic for this exact problem. She noted that if you walk into a boardroom and the executive dashboard still revolves around MQL volume, that company does not actually have an ABM strategy.
What do they have instead?
Where she called it lead gen with expensive intent data.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is such a common trap. Teams buy this really expensive software to track buyer intent, but they just bolt it onto their old volume-based machine.
Right, because changing the software is easy, but changing the underlying model is the actual hard work.
Exactly. And Petros Tritsinas echoed this dynamic, too. He noted that we constantly see B2B tech companies failing because they try to apply broad, consumer-level B2C marketing tactics to complex enterprise buyers.
You just can't market a $500,000 cybersecurity platform the same way you'd market, like, direct-to-consumer sneakers.
No, the mechanics are entirely different, which is why Jens Olivarius framed this so beautifully. He said ABM is not just a tactic, it's a commercial operating model. It shifts the entire conversation from volume to relevance.
And the upside there is massive. I mean, Matteo Salino highlighted that companies with aligned sales and marketing see a 208% increase in revenue. It's not hype. It's just pure focus.
208%. That is a structural advantage.
It really is. But let me push back on this for a second. What does this focus actually look like on the ground? Because isn't modern ABM just sending a cold email with a hyper-personalized first line about someone's latest LinkedIn post?
I am so glad you brought that up, because that is where the industry is deeply confused. Tala F. shut that down completely, saying congrats on the funding isn't an ABM strategy.
It's just a personalized opener.
Exactly. Real ABM starts long before the email. Tala says it starts with a hypothesis, like, we believe this account has this problem because of this specific trigger.
Oh, right. Not just, hey, I saw your post, but proving you understand their actual operational pain.
Spot on. And Dave Gerhart and Snowflake's Casey Patterson added to this. They pointed out that true focus means working backwards from your sales team's actual bandwidth, not your total addressable market.
So wait, let's do the math on that. If a true target account requires custom collateral and deep committee mapping, a sales rep can physically only manage, what, a handful of accounts at a time?
Exactly. If your reps can only handle 15 accounts a quarter, your marketing target list shouldn't be 10,000 companies wide. You let your sales bandwidth dictate the list size.
Okay, but that brings up a massive downstream challenge. If you're restricting your list that severely, your data has to be flawless. You can't execute high-level ABM on broken data.
Seamless transition to theme two. You're absolutely right. You cannot build a skyscraper on a swamp.
Right. And this perfectly sets up a concept Alok Mishra shared called the rifle test.
Oh, the rifle test. Yeah.
So he explains that if a startup says their target is hospitals with 200 plus beds, that's a census, not a target. The rifle test asks, can you name your first 10 target accounts by name? If you can't, you need to stop marketing and start researching.
I love that. And that connects directly to what Adam Kay was saying about ideal customer profiles, or ICPs. He points out that relying on basic demographic data like SaaS, 200 employees, Series B, is deeply flawed.
Because it's just a structural reality, not a buying trigger.
Exactly. But Adam's insight is that true targeting relies on specific business signals, like does their website have a demo request form that indicates a sales-led motion? Or have they grown headcount by 20% in the last year? That indicates actual growing pains.
Okay, so we use behavioral signals to build a constrained list. But here's where it gets complicated. Because of the buying committee, Aneta Kopa shared a stat that the average 2026 B2B buying committee has 9.4 members.
Nearly 10 people. That's a crowd.
It is. And I want to challenge this using a really provocative analogy from Dale W. Harrison. He argues that marketing is playing poker, not chess.
Poker, not chess. That's brilliant.
Yeah. He says it's magical thinking to assume we have godlike omniscience to perfectly map all 9.4 members. So how do we build relevance if we're playing with hidden cards?
Well, you acknowledge you don't have omniscience and you play the odds. You use tiering and signals. Giestetal broke down a great framework for this.
Oh, how does his tiering work?
So tier one accounts the perfect fit with full signals. They get the white glove, one-to-one manual plays. But tier three accounts, they just get automated volume.
Ah, okay. So you don't need to know every hidden card. You just align your budget and your manual effort with the best intent signals you actually have.
Precisely. Which brings us to the final piece of the puzzle, theme three, AI and automation. Now that we have a focused strategy and a tiered list, how are the best teams deploying AI right now?
Yeah, scaling intelligence versus scaling noise.
And we have to start with a massive warning from Orla Murphy and Debjeet Singh here. Debjeet noted that 90% of B2B marketers use AI, but Orla warned that AI won't drive a successful ABM program on its own.
Right, because if your underlying data is broken, AI just scales a bad list faster.
It accelerates the garbage in, garbage out cycle.
Totally. But when applied to the right lists, AI genuinely revolutionizes the workflow. I mean, we saw major product updates this week. Andrew Riesenfeld and Blaine Browning both posted about Zoom Info running natively inside OpenAI Codex.
Oh, that is huge for go-to-market teams.
It is. Teams can map committees, find signals, and score pipeline directly in their workspace using verified data.
Mm.
And then Blake Davidson announced Wormly's new API and MCP for Claude Code.
The model context protocol, the velocity that adds is staggering.
Right. Blake says teams can build custom scripts now, like pinging an account executive in Slack the exact moment a target account visits a pricing page twice.
Real-time pipeline velocity. And Johnny Brangsick and Fibo Zaresti were breaking down how to use Claude Code and AI agents for that last mile of workflow.
Yeah, what do they suggest for that?
Well, Johnny outlined 7 specific AI agents that can kill 80% of repetitive sales work, like sourcing buying signals and routing LinkedIn replies.
Yeah.
It doesn't fire SDRs, it empowers them.
It lets them focus on actual human relationship building. But, you know, Bridget Winston brought up a point I want you to reflect on. She asked, if everyone has these same AI agents, volume stops being a competitive moat. If everyone is loud at scale, how do you actually win?
That is the defining question of 2026. And Omprakash Kripanen delivered a mic drop answer. He argues AI has actually made top-of-funnel outbound worse.
Because everyone just sounds the exact same now.
Exactly. The real edge in 2026 is mid-funnel deal health. Omprakash says the best teams use AI to ingest every sales call recording, webinar Q&A, and email thread to catch stalled deals early.
Wow, and to find the hidden stakeholders that never made it into the CRM.
Right, AI is useless for contextual human judgment, but it is an absolute superpower for finding repeatable patterns in your pipeline.
So you stop screaming at the top of the funnel and start listening better, mid-funnel. That's incredible. If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel and partner marketing, AI and B2B, MarTech, go-to-market, and social selling.
And just before we sign off, I do want to leave you with one final highly provocative thought to mull over, building on insights from Ari Oster and Shar A. We've spent this entire deep dive talking about how you can use AI to target buyers. But remember, your buyers are now using AI agents like ChatGPT to silently research and build their vendor shortlists before you even know they're in the market.
Oh, wow. That flips the whole script.
It really does. As we move from account-based marketing to agent-based marketing, ask yourself, is your brand educating the algorithms, or are you only talking to the humans?
That is definitely something to think about before you launch your next campaign. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Don't forget to subscribe, and we will catch you on the next one.